Right, to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. You pray for our pastor as he's traveling this evening, and pray for him as he has some time with his family, his parents, and those who pray for him, and that the Lord would bring him back safely to us as well. Ephesians chapter 4 tonight, if you would, look with me in verse number 17. We'll really hone in on one verse of Scripture tonight as kind of a springboard for the rest of the night and the rest of the thought for this message. But I want, for context sake, to back up and begin reading in verse number 17 in Ephesians chapter number 4. The Bible says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." And I'm going to stop my reading there for the time being, and we're going to hone in tonight on that phrase of Scripture and on that exact quotation that God gives us there in verse number 27, "Neither give place to the devil." Let's pray and ask God to help us this evening. Lord, we thank you for this night. We thank you for the opportunity and privilege we've had to be in your house already. Lord, the encouragement that it is just to be around God's people. And Lord, to hear the good songs of Zion sung. And Lord, remind us of your goodness in our lives. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that those have had to minister to our children today. And I thank you for those that are working with them even now. And Lord, I pray that we would seek as moms and dads, as grandparents, and Lord, as teachers, as instructors of the Word of God at the local church, Lord, that in every facet we would seek to instill the truth of the Word of God into the hearts of our children. And Lord, would you protect them? Would you build a hedge of protection around them? And Lord, we ask that you would bless in all of these things. Lord, we ask as we come to this service tonight, I am fully aware that in preaching concerning the devil, that we will face the attack of the devil to hinder this message tonight and to hinder our lives going forward. Lord, I ask that through the Holy Spirit's power that you would enable your word to be clear tonight, that you would enable us to understand exactly what you have for us from Scripture as your people. Lord, would you help us to walk circumspectly as we go throughout our lives? And Lord, would you enable us, strengthen us, and encourage us for your work that you've given us to do? Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for what you do in this place tonight. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. A commentator has said, and I believe it always important as we study the Word of God to note the order with which God puts things into the Word of God. God is for sure a God of order that places things in the Word of God in such a way that would not be by accident, but would be exactly as God wants us to read it. And it's interesting to note the location of the passage in the text. If you'll notice the home that God gives this verse of Scripture in this entire passage, its immediate neighbors in verse 26 is temper. Its immediate neighbor to the other side in verse 28 is theft. And the devil lurks between anger and dishonesty, waiting to exploit those two things into our life and to ruin our testimony and to dishonor the Lord. I think it interesting that as we go through almost a dissertation, if you will, of God instructing the believers, these things are present, he tells to the church at Ephesus, These things are present in the life of non-believers, but he comes to verse 20 and says, but ye have not learned so in the Lord Jesus Christ. These things should not be the case in your life. And he begins running and ticking through these things of, let this not be true of your life, let this be true of your life, as he walks through. And he takes a moment after the last encouragement of verse 26 in speaking of our temper and our anger, and says there in verse 27, neither give place to the devil. It's interesting to note that God gives a special emphasis here, that in all of these things we must keep in mind, we must be aware that the devil is looking for any opportunity to penetrate into our lives and to create barriers that would ruin our relationship with Almighty God. Suppose with me tonight that you had a 1,000-acre farm. Some of you say that would be terrible. I would never want to live in the middle of a 1,000-acre farm. Miss Tammy would say at that time, there's no Wegmans in the middle of a 1,000-acre farm. I can't survive. And so some of you, that may not be a great idea. Some of us, we say, man, I'd like to move right in the middle of it, in that 1,000-acre farm, and have it surround me on all sides. But suppose tonight that we were enabled the opportunity to have a 1,000-acre farm, but at some point, someone offered to buy it from us. You agree to sell the land except for 1 acre right in the center, which you want to keep for yourself. Did you know that in some areas the law allows for that to legally be the case? For you to own 1 square acre in the middle of a 1,000 acre or any acreage of land, and for there to be a right to build a road across the surrounding property in order to get to it. So is the case in the life of a believer when we fail to give Christ 100% of our life. We can be sure that in that event, the devil will take advantage of any inroad to reach that uncommitted area of our lives. This is something that I am sure tonight at a Sunday night crowd is not a unfamiliar portion of Scripture, but it's amazing how so many areas of the Christian life that if we are not repeatedly reminded of certain biblical truths, that the devil, as we're speaking of tonight, will creep in unawares in our life and will create, before we know it, a drastic barrier between ourselves and Almighty God. I'd like for just a few moments tonight to take the opportunity to lead you to a few places in Scripture that I believe we must protect, that we must be on guard against, if God is going to enable us to keep the devil out of our lives. I work continually in our church, primarily with our teenagers and with our children in our church. And I want to tell you, at times it is discouraging to try to battle against what our young people are facing day in and day out. I've told countless people this recently. I think our parents meeting last week, I probably rehearsed this again. When I was a teenager, you had to go look to get into trouble. You had to work really hard to get into trouble. You had to go find it almost. Now that is not the case. Trouble finds you wherever you are as a young person today. And parents, we must be very sober. We must be very aware. Grandparents, we must be very aware of the challenges that young people are facing, and even that we are facing ourselves. That has never been the case that it is today in our society, where the devil is using a myriad of different resources and a myriad of different avenues to reach the hearts of people. And I don't think any of us are exempt from this tonight, that the devil would seek to gain entrance into our life. But the more so, I believe, that we see this happening is in the lives of our young people, where the devil is infiltrating at a very young age and seeking to grasp and gain their lives to where God has no place in their life, no existence in their lives. And as we walk through Scripture, God has given us definite identifiers and definite ammunition, if you will. And I praise the Lord tonight that as a preacher of the Word of God, I can tell you that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And do not be disheartened tonight. Do not be discouraged as I preach this message and as I tell you what is wrong in the world, because greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. But first of all, may I draw your attention to, number one, the place the devil deserves. God gives us very clearly in the Word of God the place that the devil deserves. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41, the Bible says, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Years ago, I heard an old-time southern preacher make the statement, the devil does not deserve your life because he has not paid for it. And the devil does not deserve any entrance into our life because he's never paid one dime for it. He's never paid one sweat drop for it. He's never paid one ounce of blood for my life. He has no business being in my life. And the place that God has told us throughout the Word of God that is designed and is created and is meant for the devil is a place called hell. But number two, the place the devil desires. The place the devil desires. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12, the Word of God says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." The devil does not deserve your life because he has not paid for it, but the devil always desires the highest place, especially in our lives. You see, the very reason Isaiah lays out there, the very reason that Lucifer or Satan was exited from heaven at one time, because he desired the place that was God's. He desired the attributes and the prestige that God had. And the place he desires in our life will always be the highest place. God tells us also in Ephesians chapter 6, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." The devil will do whatever it takes to get the place that he desires in our life. The word wiles there given to us in Scripture simply means trickery. And the devil will use whatever he has to do to paint a certain picture in our life that will enable him to reach that highest point, that worship status, if you will, in our life. And most of the time, that comes unaware by us. It comes unaware into our lives that we don't even realize. How many times do we begin to make justifications or excuses for certain things in our life, and before we know it, we have reached a further point, spiritually speaking, than we ever thought we would be because of a simple justification in our lives? You know, I wish that upon every decision that we made, we could see the before and after, don't you? Wouldn't that be convenient in our lives? Okay, this decision, I'd like to see what the before and after pictures look like. I have to see that when it comes to these like HGTV remodeling shows that they show. I can't see what it's supposed to look like when I see the bad product. I need to see the after product. But folks, we can see it. All throughout the Word of God, we can walk and we can see the before and the after. We can see the life that God wanted to use in the Word of God in a young shepherd boy that he found in the field and to do great things in his life and ended up with the restoration of Almighty God. David did go on to do great and mighty things and be called even a man after God's own heart. But man, didn't the devil take him through a ringer to get there? And as he went through that, he desired certain things that were not his. He desired certain things that were given to him. I tell individuals as often as given the opportunity, the devil does not have the ability to touch your life as a believer, but he has every ability to know exactly what makes you tick and what you desire to have, to bring into your life that which would tempt you, that which would pull you down. And he is in entirety, and I believe it stems back from Isaiah chapter 14 and this exiting of heaven. The devil desires that he would separate God Almighty from those that he has redeemed. His desire is that he would separate that one that God loved so much that he sent his only begotten Son into the world to redeem. And the devil's highest goal in life is to get between us and Almighty God. So the place the devil deserves and the place that the devil desires, but thirdly tonight, the places we must defend. And this is where I'd like to spend the significant amount of our time tonight, the places that we must defend. You see, if we were to be able to see a billboard in our life that said, this is an attack from the devil, it would change immensely the way that we choose to live our lives. But unfortunately, the devil wraps these and cloaks these into different situations. And look with me at a few of these places in Scripture that I believe God calls us to defend in the Christian life, to defend from the devil and his trickery. The first place I see in the Word of God that we must defend is the place of communion. The place of communion with Almighty God. If you want to put as kind of a, I don't want to outline you to death tonight, but if you want to put as kind of a sub-point to this, this is the secret place. This is where the power lies in our life. This is where the enabling in the Christian life lies. And we must defend that place of communion. God says in Psalm chapter 91 and verse 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You know, I'll come in at times to the youth group, and I do this in youth group is why I'm doing it here. Hopefully, I'm not messing our camera people up too bad in the back. But I'll sit down and I'll ask the young people, what do you want me to preach on tonight? And sometimes I'll kid with them and I'll say, hey guys, I'm going to preach on something revolutionary tonight. And they'll kind of look at me with their four-eyed look like I'm crazy. And they don't believe it for a minute. And I'll say, I'm going to preach on reading your Bible tonight. It's groundbreaking. I'm going to preach on prayer tonight. You know, I try to reiterate some of these things to them because this is the lifeblood of the Christian life. And the reason we repeat it and we repeat it and we repeat it, read your Bible, pray every day. We teach our kids the song and you'll grow, grow, grow. Why? Because it's the lifeblood of the Christian life. You know, it's easy to talk and it's easy to sit around in groups of individuals and discuss biblical things. It's easy to get on Facebook or Instagram and post a picture of a Bible verse I'm not saying that's a wrong thing for us to do. It's easy to have a discussion about religious or spiritual things with other people. But I tell you, what the devil desires the most in your life is to get in between you and the place of communion with Almighty God. Because that's the place of power. That's the place of strength in the Christian life. And I don't know if I'm the only weak Christian that falls under this time and time again, but when I sit down to read my Bible is when I think of everything else that I shouldn't be thinking of at that time. The mornings that I succeed and I wake up early enough, okay, I'm going to spend my alone time with God, is the day that my four-year-old wakes up at 6 a.m. and walks in and says, hey, Dad, I need you. And you know what? The devil wants to use anything that he can to get in between that place of communion with Almighty God. And God says again in Psalm chapter 90, in Psalm chapter 91 and verse 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Do you see the picture that God gives us in Scripture? That dwelling there, it's not just a passing through. It's not just a scanning of the pages. It's not just a checking of the box. But he says to dwell in that secret place with God Almighty. And that individual that dwells in the secret place, I love the phraseology of this portion of Scripture where he says they dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. Man, don't you love being under the shadow of the wings of Almighty God? When you think of that, you think of the mother bird that draws those baby chicks in underneath her for protection during a storm or during a stressful time. And God says that individual that will get in the Word of God and will dwell there and will meditate on the things of God and will bring it before the Lord in prayer, he says that individual is an individual that will dwell under the protection and the security of God Almighty. And I believe it is imperative in our life as believers that we defend against the devil in the place of communion. It's that secret place. It's that place that God most desires us to spend our time each and every day in the secret place. But number two, not only the place of communion, but the place between you and authority. This one's not easy. This one's not what we desire as human beings to look at. But if you want to write this down as well, this is the place of instruction. This is the place of prayerful instruction. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 12 says that we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17 states, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you." God desires that we would protect that place of instruction, that place between us and individuals of authority. I believe this could run the gamut of different types of authority that God places in our life, but primarily God is speaking here of spiritual authority. And I believe we must go in this situation to the individual of our pastor. You know what? Folks, our pastor should be the first and the last prayer request on our prayer sheet. I say that a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but our pastor should be the first person as a church member that we pray for, because he is under the most onslaught of the devil to ruin his ministry and to ruin his relationship with his church and his individuals that he has opportunity and ability to under-shepherd us as a church. He's under the onslaught of the devil. But I have to tell you something tonight that I think is pretty groundbreaking truth tonight. But our pastor's not perfect. Hope he's not watching live stream right now, but he's not perfect. He would be the first to stand before you and tell you, "If you want a list of my faults, I'll give them to you. I'll list them out for you." But I have seen time and time again in ministry after ministry where individuals believe that their pastor is a perfect individual, and all of a sudden he messes up and they go, "Oh, I can't believe the pastor would do that." And then they go home and they tell their wife, "I can't believe the pastor said that. Can you believe that?" And then they tell their kids, You know what? The devil is trying to get an inroad in there. The devil is trying to get an inroad that would discourage you. And please understand, I'm not preaching tonight a worship type status for your pastor, but I believe there should be a reverence and a respect for our pastor whom God has called to lead our church. And God's desire for us and our leaders that God gives to us is that we would follow them in prayer and in much begging of the Lord to bind the devil and his demons away from him, that he would build a hedge of protection around him and enable him to carry out the work of the pastorate to the best of his ability through God's enabling. But the devil would desire that through offenses or through different imperfections that we may view in our spiritual leadership, the devil would desire that in seeing that, it would derail us from the purpose and mission that God has given us as individuals. I sat for 4 years under the ministry and the teaching of Dr. Clarence Sexton at Crown College, and he always made this statement, and it was groundbreaking for me, and it helped me, it grew me as an individual, just to hear this in these simplistic terms. He said, "I believe in reading the Word of God that the two main objectives God gives for every believer is either to pastor a church or to help someone pastor a church." And I believe you could biblically back that up throughout the Word of God, that every, and of course there's other officers, there's other things that we have in our church, but every individual is called to one of those two tasks. When you think of it in that simplistic of terms, it is no surprise, it is no shock that the devil would love to mess up that relationship. That the devil would love to have an inroad in that relationship, in that communication between the pastor and his church. The third thing here, the place that we must defend against the devil, number three, is the place between you and other Christians. Note, if you will, this is the place of fellowship. This is the place of fellowship. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31 and 32 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." I tell you, over the months that we were away from one another, over the months that the dreaded C word that we don't mention anymore because we want it to go away, over that tremendous, it felt to me like a long time where we weren't able to meet here together. I think one of the things, and it resonated with every person that I talked to about it afterward, one of the greatest things I think we missed as a church was this. Just being around one another. Being physically in each other's presence. You know, God calls us to stand alone when no one will stand with us. We understand this from Scripture. But isn't it interesting that God made the differentiation in Scripture to say that when two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them? To me, that's impactful. To me, that's God putting a priority on our fellowship as believers, on God's desire for us to be together one amongst another. I asked the young people last week in chapel, we were in elementary chapel, so it ranges from second grade to sixth grade, and I asked them the question, how many of you have siblings? Most of the hands went up across the auditorium, and they raised their hands. I said, how many of you, and I worded it carefully, I said, how many of you like your siblings? And not as many raised their hand the second time around. But then I asked the question, I said, how many of you would say, though, and I termed it for kids, okay, so bear with me as I tell it to adults, okay? But I said, how many of you, though, if anybody messed with your sibling, it's time to fight? And I had to put my hand up. And most of them were like, yeah, nobody's allowed to mess with my sibling. I said, you know why? Because you love them, even though you don't always like them. I was that way. I have a sister. I almost said I had a sister, but she's still with us, just in Thailand. But she's 4 years. That's a little brother for you in talking about his sister. But my sister and I were 4 years apart, and I was the pesty, bratty little that messed with her all the time. And so we might not have liked each other all the time, but we still loved each other. You know what, folks? I believe one of the greatest tools the devil uses in our churches is pitting one against another inside of the church. The Bible talks about in the book of Psalms the beauty of unified believers. He talks about blessed are those who are joined together as fellow believers, the beauty that is there, the loveliness that is there. And you know what? The devil would love tonight to allow discouragements. He would allow, he would love to allow hurts and harms and deep, and some of them are very deep-rooted hurts that would be there. The devil would love to use those to derail us from God's mission for our lives. And as believers walk through this life, and as we walk through the different challenges that we face day in and day out, the place of fellowship with believers is an enormous need in our lives that must be always monitored, that the devil is not allowed to have a place in it. You know, I think as I look at my life, and as I look at individuals that I have had conflict with in my life, whatever period it was, I can generally trace back in those moments of time in my own life where the offense really took place, and it was allowed to go to the extent it was allowed to go to because I thought more highly of myself than I ought to think. And sometimes the individuals treat me poorly, sure. But we have to go back time and time again. They treated the Lord Jesus Christ poorly as well. And the devil uses our own pride and our own feelings of self-worth in our lives to drive home that, well, you shouldn't go back to that place anymore. You should unfriend them on Facebook. You should never speak to them again. You should sit on the opposite side of the church that they sit on. And folks, I'm making a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek statement in some of these things, but I believe the devil has done great harm by these last two things that I've mentioned. He's done great harm to derail God's purpose and God's mission in this world because we've not guarded against those places in our life that the devil seeks to take over. And then the fourth thing that we see as a place that we must defend is the place between us and a lost and dying world. This, if you'd note this, is the place of service. God says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." I say this to myself first, please know that, before I say it to you as a church family tonight. When our mission becomes anything but reaching souls for Jesus Christ, we've missed it. I'm going to say that one more time. When our mission becomes anything but reaching souls for the Lord Jesus Christ, we've missed God's purpose for us. And oftentimes the devil does the greatest damage in our lives personally by just making us busy. Filling our lives with everything and everybody, but keeping us in such a whirlwind of motion that we forget the purpose that God has given us on this earth. And God says, be sober, be vigilant. The word sober there gives us the idea, be very serious about what I've given you to do. Be very wary of as you walk and as you go throughout this life. Be very, very sensitive and be vigilant. He says, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. If today we were to talk to any of our military individuals that have served or are currently serving, when you are on a battlefield, there is never a taking anything lightly. There is never a letting down of your guard in any situation or circumstance because you are on alert. You are being vigilant because you know the enemy is out there. Do we treat the devil? Do we treat our lives as believers in that same fashion, that we are being sober about it, being vigilant because he's out there seeking whom he may, and those individuals that he wants to devour? You know those people. Put a face to those individuals that the devil is waiting to devour. You see, he wants to ruin my life, but he can't devour me. If you know Christ as Savior, he wants to ruin your life. He wants to ruin your effectiveness for Christ, but he can't devour you. God's already sealed you until the day of redemption. He cannot completely ruin anything for you. He can derail you. But you see, those individuals that are all around us at the workplace, that are all around us in the grocery store, that are all around us as we go throughout our lives, those individuals are the individuals that the devil is seeking to devour. Those are the individuals that the devil wants to ruin their opportunity to ever hear about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. And God says, as we walk throughout again the book of Ephesians, and as he walks through these direct statements of be this, do not be this, have this in your life as an ingredient, do not have this in your life as a believer. And as he gets to that statement in Scripture, it's just a blip on the radar, if you will, of Ephesians chapter 4. It's just a quick interjection into the passage, but carries so much weight. He says, neither give place to the devil. Folks, are we on guard in our lives? Have we allowed the devil more ground in recent days? Have we allowed him in any area of our life, in our viewing habits, in the places that we go, in the company that we keep, that we allow to be our confidant, that we allow to be our source of instruction? Have we allowed the devil to get into those areas of our life? And I pray tonight, as we close in our service, that the Lord, that the Holy Spirit of God would pinpoint in our life, have we let our defenses down in any area? Are the walls broken? Do they need to be restored in our life to protect against these areas of the devil? Let's pray tonight. Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you that through the Word of God, you give us the encouragement, the hope, the faith in our lives that, Lord, you are greater than the enemy that faces us, whether it be the devil, whether it be the flesh, whether it be the world. That you are greater. You have already won the victory. It's settled, it's sealed until the day of redemption. But Lord, I pray that tonight that you do what I cannot do and that you would speak to hearts. That the Holy Spirit of God would pinpoint exactly in our lives any area that needs adjustment. Have we allowed the devil to distract us from what is the main thing? Have we allowed our relationship with you to take second fiddle to anything in our lives, and the devil is using that to keep us from being effective for Almighty God? Lord, would you work in our hearts? Would you give us the strength to obey and to follow you each and every day? Lord, would you work in this time? Would you continue the work as we leave this place this week? In Jesus' name we ask these things. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, would you stand with me all over the auditorium? I'm going to ask the instrumentists to come, if you would, and play just a verse of invitation. I won't linger long, but maybe you say tonight, the Lord's laid something on my heart, and I need to give this to Him tonight. I need some walls to be restored, some defenses to be placed. Maybe somebody in the auditorium would say, I need to renew my fervor in praying that God would protect my children, that God would build a hedge around them, that God would give me the wisdom to parent them the way that He would desire me to do so. I don't know what the specific need on your heart is tonight, but if God is laying something on your heart and life tonight, would you do business with God? As she plays this verse of invitation, the altar is open. Maybe you want to make your seat there an altar tonight. Please do business with God tonight.